Are you sure this is the right way to back?
I'm sure. Hey, I've got it. A great idea for this bit. Phil Collins live at SeaWorld.
What, filling a bunch of fish?
No. It's Phil Collins' special guest, Drew Barrymore, coming out on Shamu, the killer whale. And then we get, I don't know who's ever the current black athlete. And then we get, like, Miss America.
Vanessa Williams?
Nah, she'd never do it.
I didn't think so.
Wrestling always
makes
you got a point.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Rock and wrestling.
And a bunch of midgets.
No, you don't even. You need the champ. You need the champ of wrestling.
Hulk Hogan.
No, he's not the champion. Who is it?
Ultimate Warrior.
Ultimate Warrior, Phil Collins, and the gorgeous ladies of wrestling. A bunch of spandex clad, sweating, husky
I
women.
I got it. Phil Collins versus the Ultimate Warrior.
You already got me in that sing-song mood, friend.
I knew if I would have just dropped some Philco when you got
you here, know,
it'd sneak its way onto the recording.
I cannot fight it. You give me Philco, I'm going to pick it up. I'm going to run with it because it's me. It's me. Big time, Matt O. With me, as always, my guy, Nay Tony O. Adams.
Ahoy, ahoy, everybody.
I didn't think of wrestlers for us to be this week. You want to pick him?
Yeah, you're the ultimate warrior to my Phil Collins.
Oh, man, on the fly. Nails it. Wow.
Perfect. Really just like,
wow. You know,
encapsulates our personalities, I feel like. Appropriate to the era we're talking about. You know,
just killed it, man.
We probably should be talking more about Phil Collins on this thing. We've been deep in this quagmire of 80s pop culture for quite a long time. This is really the first time he's come up, which is ridiculous.
Yeah, that's a shame on us, man. We got to start hitting the staples.
He's like posting a lot of stuff about that weird claymation video he did and stuff like that. And you know,
I sent that, that we had the
hashtag
little
fuck Peter Gabriel stuff.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I live my life by that hashtag.
Ugh.
We had a little New Year's shout out to Billy Joel, which landed us a like from his current rhythm guitarist.
Oh wow!
Yeah,
that's amazing about social media. Just the way it lets you go out there and reach people.
You're
make
one
connections,
or two clicks away.
You know?
So we got to do some Phil Collins love. I think we can get Phil himself to like one of our posts.
Phil Collins has a history, you know, in the wrestling business. I'm sure he's probably a big wrestling podcast fan, too. I mean, what else is he doing when he's out on the road?
Oh, he's got nothing but time.
Nothing but time. That sounds like it could be a good Phil Collins song.
Yeah, I've listened to that fucking Seeger Turn the Page song a million times, so I can tell you for a fact, when you're out on that road, it's just bad looks, loneliness.
Once a year, on my birthday, I like to drive out to the edge of the Thornton Quarry and just listen to Turn the Page.
Just think
then,
about,
yeah.
Is this the year?
Think about the year, the previous year.
Is
and
this
going to
be the
like,
one?
Turn around and drive home. It's
not
a
tonight.
Tradition. It's every
not
year.
Tonight.
That's how I spend my birthday. It's working out well for me so far.
What Warrior and Phil Collins, that's a You Can't Hurry Love video, I want to say.
I don't remember what song
you
they were
You can't
saying.
Hurry love. No, you just have to wait.
I just remember
when he was covering all that like black girl group
dancing.
60s shit.
Yeah. Yeah. It was a good era for him.
Yeah. Warrior wasn't having it. I heard he was stiffing him.
He
potatoed him a couple
times. Uncooperative, and you get this like jabron like Phil Collins who's never been in the ring before, and there with a grizzled old vet. He's got to show him a thing or two.
Legend.
Stretch this young boy.
Absolutely. I could just talk Warrior and Phil Collins. We could probably just abandon this podcast and start a strictly Warrior and Phil Collins podcast.
That covers pretty much everything.
Yeah.
Anything you need to know in life, you could learn it from watching an Ultimate Warrior promo or listening to a Phil Collins song.
Yeah. Oh.
Everything else is just, you know, details,
we're gonna,
man.
Okay. All right. We're going to have a bit. I'm gonna work on it.
Okay.
I'm thinking what it is I'm going to drop some kind of quote of wisdom on you.
Wow.
And then you're going to have to guess if it comes from a Warrior promo or a Phil Collins song.
That sounds pretty good to me, yeah.
So look forward to that. Like,
it's gonna be a nice
in the classic
segment.
Heyday of, Loveline with Drew and Carolla.
Oh, yeah.
They had that Florida or
Back
Germany.
Adam Carolla was an insane old man.
Yeah.
And Dr. Drew was like a vampiric celebrity succubus.
Yeah, yeah.
Good old days.
Florida or Germany.
Oh, yeah, Germany or Florida.
Germany or Florida. Yeah, we're going to have we're gonna have Warrior
vintage
or Phil
days of Viva Variety on Viva Comedy Variety. Central, where they would play the game Plant or Animal,
mm-hmm.
where you had to guess if the noise played over an audio recording was made by an animal or Led Zeppelin lead singer Robert Plant.
Yeah.
That's a good bit.
That's a real good bit.
Warrior or Philco.
It's coming. Coming to you in 2018.
We're going to have to get our writers working on that.
Yeah.
Write up a bunch of Warrior or Philcos. You hear that, monkeys?
It's happening. But never mind what's coming in 2018.
No.
Tell me what's happening now.
We gotta talk about 1988, because that's where we are.
Boom.
Famously,
it's our second week.
Traveled back in time to 1988. New year. We're going back into that. Sticking with the same night.
Mm-hmm.
That January 2nd night in 1988, there wasn't just a World Championship Wrestling broadcast. We also got a Saturday night's main event.
It was a big night
for
wrestling.
Over there on NBC. So we're going to be talking about that Saturday night's main event.
Dickie Ebersole.
We're
going to
be
boys.
Running it down. Going to give you the rundown here.
Nice.
Stifler presents the rundown.
That check cleared last week.
Oh, man.
It
we
cleared?
Got direct deposit now. Just
it's,
every
wow.
week. It's just coming straight into
oh,
our account.
Oh, man. Way to be back
term.
On.
Yeah, we got long term. Your contract.
Top,
your contract is Stifler.
Does he have anything coming up? Maybe we should hype. Yeah,
there's
that second Goon movie.
Another American Pie sequel
is there?
Coming out.
American
yeah,
Pie 10?
Stifler marries Stifler's mom. It's really controversial. Yeah. I think it should get this series back on track.
American Pie X.
Oh, triple X. You know, that's
Whoa.
What they're going to do when they hit
with,
that 10th one.
Yeah, with Vin Diesel.
That would be a
He's
cool
a good dude.
Crossover.
Yep.
Vin Diesel's Stifler's new stepdad.
Stifler, be a daddy, Vin Diesel.
Stifler, you know, loses his job, has to move back in with his mom.
Stifler, your mom's so hot.
Xander Cage is his new stepdad.
But he keeps calling himself Vin Diesel.
These two, you know, they chafe at first. They're not getting along, and there's a period of adjustment.
I just want you to like me.
Then at the end,
Stifler.
They have to join forces to stop some terrorists. You probably
people say,
with the help from Jim from American Pie making a special cameo at the end.
Oh God,
he's got to fuck a pie that has a bomb in it or something. I don't know. I don't have all the details yet. This is just the initial pitch.
I'm killing myself with our comedic gold.
Tag
Anyways.
Team match. First match on the
first
card.
Match.
Get this rundown.
Let's run it.
2 out of 3. We got the Strike Force. Tito Santana.
Never heard of him.
And Ricky Martel against the Bolsheviks. You got that Ivan
boys.
Koloff and Boris Zukov, big, burly, old-looking Russian guys.
With?
The Slickster, baby.
Yeah, baby,
he's,
that's right.
Turned his back on capitalism and
no,
is now
that's
a
right.
huge proponent of communism. That first fall, Martel gets it with a Boston Crab. That second fall, Tito gets it after ducking a shot. They tried to hit him with Slick's cane. It backfired. Ivan hit Boris, and then Tito pinned Boris. That's two falls in a row for the Strike Force.
What a mess.
We're getting put over huge.
Big time.
We got that wild Samoan, Sika. He's in there against Jake the Snake Roberts. And that's a one-on-one match that Jake
sure
wins
is.
With a roll-up. It was real quick.
Real quick.
Real quick. Mostly just there so Fuji could get DDT'd and have Damien put on him.
Yep.
Which the crowd loved.
They sure did. He never lost that hat.
Hulk Hogan.
Hulk.
He's got
Hulk.
A history of fighting great big fat guys.
Hulk.
We get another
Hulk.
One of those matches here. He's fighting King Kong Bundy with other big fat guy Andre the Giant in his corner. How's Hogan gonna fucking, you know, how's he gonna beat those odds? He's got a big fat guy in the ring. He's got a big fat guy outside of the ring. Well, he just does it by pinning Bunny with the leg drop, really. And Andre doesn't even really interfere.
Yeah, no, that did it. That was enough.
Good work, Hogan. In our big main event, Hogan's in the semi-main.
Man.
Hogan's in the semi-main on these Saturday night's main events.
That's right.
Put those kiddies to bed.
Gotta get the
And
yeah.
then, you know,
yeah.
the parents get the real main event of the Birdman, Coco Beware.
And a sexual main event
Gets
it was.
Wrestling's Robert Mitchum, Greg the Hammer Valentine.
that's
Valentine
a good one.
Wins with the figure four leg lock.
Mm-hmm.
And then he won't break the hold like a jerk. Kogo's legs are going to get injured, so our man, Brutus the fucking Barber Beefcake.
The beefer?
He makes a big save.
Strutting and cutting, dog.
That's our card. That's a solid card.
Yeah.
Filling some time on a Saturday night.
Yeah.
All you losers without dates back in 1988. You
fucking
staying
losers.
Staying home and watching wrestling.
Nerds!
Gotta love these nerds. Gotta love these nerds. They're keeping all these wrestlers in cocaine money.
Going to Milwaukee to see a movie tonight called Revenge of the Nerds.
Oh, yeah? What's that about?
There's about a bunch of nerds who become empowered.
Typically, after that rundown, we move into our next segment. We like to call the five count.
Five.
Is where we pick five big talking points, things we want to talk about from this episode of TV. And then after that five count, we break the hold and we move on. So let's get into it. What's your number one?
Or as I like to say, all five, no jive.
No, nothing but jive.
Oh, okay.
All five, all the jive.
Yeah.
We're jive talking all night, said. Baby.
Jive talking.
That's another good
Here's
one.
My number one. I'm going to give it to the first fucking thing we saw on the episode.
Fuck yeah.
That great ass hype video.
Okay, yeah.
I loved it.
Get you jumped in. Get you pumped up right away.
It was just like simple black background, and they had like a simple like video game graphic for everybody's name.
Mm-hmm.
And they just had this bitchin' like guitar music that suggested to you that you were about to see some shit, so
Hell
get
yeah.
ready. Like that you've been waiting for it all day. You've been talking like all week with your friends at school. Mm-hmm. Like, Saturday's gonna be back on Saturday. Are you watching it?
I don't know. Maybe if they put a soundtrack of some chugging guitars it's behind
be
it,
there.
I'd get pretty stoked for it. Right now, I'm kind of on the fence.
Yeah, but it was there, mm-hmm. so they watched it. It was a great hype video.
Video packages, that's just something that WWF destroys
the production. And that
all
was,
other wrestling companies in.
But that was a lot of the Saturday Night Main Event, though, the Dick Ebersol and all that crap. But either way, this was it in its glory. They did a great job. They got you hyped. Everything was there. It's a lost art, man. Mm-hmm. Like it was like these are the matches you're gonna get.
They're
all booked. They're all
get
laid
ready
out.
For 'em.
Here it is. And that's one of my biggest problems with wrestling these days.
Yeah,
is just
the episode starts. There's no card.
There's nothing.
What are we gonna watch?
Who knows? And they present it on the show like it's a fun thing. Like I'm just gonna put you in this match tonight, right now.
Build
what?
Some anticipation, fuckos.
Like,
what are you thinking?
Yeah, we know you fucking booked that way. And
at
that you're writing
like
the show. Yeah.
A main event for the next week. So you could like hype a main event all week. Like going into every show not knowing what matches are going to be on it whatsoever. Ugh.
Yeah.
It's like these people
stupid.
Don't know how to fucking
it's stupid,
promote
man.
Wrestling or something. Like, and that's who they are, the guys who are promoting wrestling.
Yeah. So big shout out to 1988 WWF having their shit together.
I'll say there's a dark side to this production, though, because, you know, this whole show is really slick. Everything that's mm-hmm. on it's like just making a lot of sense.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of felt a lot like modern wrestling in that way, and that there was like at no point during this entire show where I was getting that glorious 80s feeling of, oh, God, this is a train wreck, or like, oh, what the fuck is this doing on this show?
It was a shorter runtime than we're used
to. Yeah, uh-huh.
And I think
it was all very concise. Like everything served its purpose. It made sense. And I was just kind of like, well, hell, what are we even going to talk about?
I think
none of this shit's a real shit show.
I agree with that. But again, I think we've just been jaded by just dredging through these hour and a half 80s shit shows.
It's really grinded me down.
Yeah.
I'm a little nub of a human being. Call me Lil Nub.
Lil Nubs.
I want that to be my new nickname.
Nubsy.
I'm changing my Twitter handle, Little Nub.
Do it.
I will.
Great.
My number one is just kind of going to be the human being who added the most to this broadcast for me.
Uh-huh.
Brought it all together. Just made it worth watching. More than carrying his end of the bargain. He's
a Hollywood superstar.
Saddled with the dead weight of Vince McMahon, the worst long-term play-by-play.
He's a Hollywood superstar.
Commentator of all time. The sight of David Crockett. I'm talking Jesse the Body Ventura.
Yeah,
probably
he crushes
the
it.
Greatest color commentator of all time.
Yeah.
And not just good at calling the matches, good at getting the stories over, good at getting the wrestlers over, but he's just got so much personality, and he just had so much personality to the show, and he's in all the side segments doing the interviews, and people bounce off him well, and he plays off people well, and he's always dressed real cool, man.
Real cool.
And like one of the first things you see after that video package is just him in a real fucking revealing, just Jean-Claude Van Damme-esque tank top and a goddamn welcome mat of chest hair.
Oh,
and he's really standing out.
It was creeping up onto his shoulders.
Oh, you get all these fucking waxed bodies in this 80s era of pro wrestling.
Not
this
just.
Baby oiled up skin. You're standing out when you got that big, sexy, thicket of musky chest hair going on. And
he was the reason.
Body was looking good.
He was the reason Shawn Michaels felt so confident to just grow that chest hair out.
And, you know, he really
eventually.
Didn't gel as a main event wrestler
until
he had that chest hair creeping down into his tights. So
Well, he didn't look like a little boy running around doing flips anymore.
Yeah.
He looked like a man.
Ooh, sound like a sound like a pointed comment maybe to some of you indie wrestlers out there. Little boys running around doing flips. You know, we...
Or as I like to call them, the Jesse White tumblers.
Huh, love those boys.
Yeah, I do too.
First thing we see, Jesse's chest hair. Second or last thing we see as we're pretty much going away is just him flexing and smiling real big, cheese-eating grin, talking about how happy he is that Hulk Hogan was choked unconscious and sent to the hospital. He was gleeful. He really hates Hulk Hogan.
I loved how he was flexing there at the end, and his body was looking a little doughy.
Yeah. It was like those Hollywood trainers, like, not the same back in the 80s as they are these days.
I was like, bro, didn't you just finish Predator? Like,
these days, anytime any fucking D-list comedian gets cast in a superhero movie or something, like... Fucking, they disappear for 3 months and then pop up just looking shredded as hell.
Yeah, I'm not going to call him D-list, but I'm going to point it out because it's a weird sentence. Paul Rudd has abs.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Paul Rudd, man. That dude probably looking better than post-Predator Jesse Ventura.
Yeah.
He kind of, I don't know.
But
something in those new human growth hormones that are just really making, just like we were talking about last week, all those women pussy drooling over Lex Luger, who's an ugly dude, just because he's so fucking ripped.
Just cut.
Back then,
shit.
You didn't get all those fucking ripped, big, muscular idiots like you do today. There's just something in the supplements.
Yeah.
You got it good these days.
Well, I mean, and I put it in my notes for the very beginning here, because in that hype video, they show all the wrestlers and they show Hogan. And we've talked mad shit about Hogan.
I know.
But the first thing I noticed was, oh, Hogan, looking a little bit more cut in 88 than he did in 86.
Okay, yeah, good for
still,
him.
Still awful.
Yeah.
By, like, terms of, like, being
being, like,
cut.
Known for being the body guy in pro wrestling, the Hulk, Hogan.
He's still just, like, very fat.
Bloated.
Yeah.
He's just bloated.
He's just bloated in the gut. He always had, like, the saggy Ric Flair tits.
Oh, absolutely. They look good when you're getting chopped, though, so I kind of appreciate that. Got to have some man titties. Make those chops look good in slow-mo.
But I got another thing I like.
All right.
A number two.
Let's move on to number two. Keep this train rolling.
I like the Bolsheviks versus the Strike Force.
Oh, that 2 out of 3 falls tag team title match.
It wasn't bad.
No, yeah.
Got the show off to a fun start.
It really made Strike Force look a cut above.
Yeah.
Streets ahead.
It was it wasn't bad for 80s wrestling. Strike Force was moving well. Bolsheviks were selling the way they should for their fast moving around maneuvers.
Mm-hmm.
And then at the same time, slowed it down whenever they got their offense.
Absolutely.
Grindy. Make the crowd hate it, you know? They don't want to see that.
No. I mean, these are white baby face heroes and they're getting ground down by these hairy Russian bears.
That's right.
There was probably a segment of the audience who was into hairy Russian bears.
Yeah,
but,
there was. This was Washington, D.C. was where we were at.
Mm, yeah, there's no closet cases in that town.
No, never have been, so. What do you got here? Oh, you get Ventura, Jesse the Body Ventura, taking shots at Stallone in this match.
Oh, yeah, that's because, you know, he's great. Arnie's big friend, so, you know.
Yeah.
Got to have your boys back. There's a gigantic 80s action movie feud going on at the time.
Yeah, yeah.
What would happen if Arnie and Sly were up against each other?
Well, it'll happen when they're like
taking
70.
Taking shots at each other that...
making movies.
That Last Action Hero where, you know, Arnold sees that stand-up cutout of Rambo and he's like, oh man, this guy looks like an idiot. I'm way bigger than him.
I'm so huge. Yeah. He's not a very big man at all.
They both talk really dumb.
This is
a real dream match.
Yeah, do they? Huh.
I gotta say, kind of a disappointment once they started doing movies together.
Yeah, somebody, I forget who it was calling Strike Force mini Rambos.
Mm, yeah, they did kind of both just look like, it was the feathered hair, really, I think is what it was.
Yeah, but Jesse pointed out that there's not a whole lot of similarities. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the hair's kind of similar, but like, as he pointed out, Rick Martel's 5'10".
Mm-hmm.
Whereas Stallone's 5'3".
Ooh.
That's a shot,
hey,
brother.
You know, I'm not the tallest guy in the world. I'm not 5'3". Feel like I'm at least like 5'6", 5'7", you know.
It's tough, you know, Tom Cruise is not really a thing yet.
You can commentate, just sometimes, you know.
Not really a thing.
You know, a little bit, he's just exaggerating his own.
He's just playing a part, you know.
Fake news.
He's just playing a part. Fake news. Hashtag Stallone hates fake news. You get a lot of the McMahon excitable pin calls.
Oh, 1, 2, 3. He got him. No, he didn't.
No, he didn't.
No, he didn't.
And he just does that like he stops speaking real words and he's just like,
you could really just create a robot to do Vince McMahon play by play commentary because he's cycling through the like fucking same four or five sound bites
to
over
anybody
and over and over again.
To anybody that still played wrestling video games to when they got to the point where they could have actual commentary in the games.
Oh, that was good times.
Like, it was cool at first because you're like, man, this is like JR or whoever. They're calling the matches. This is fun. But then when you play that game for second hour, that third hour, and they just keep saying the same things over and over and over again, just like an NBA Jam with the, he's heating up, he's on fire.
That's Vince
all that stuff. Yeah, that's Vince Bot.
Vince Bot 5000 like, doing all this play-by-play alongside Jesse Ventura.
And just, I'd like to maybe just take an old wrestling match and take the audio out and just put in Vince drops, see if we can do it.
Or just take some video game footage and put real commentary of Vince McMahon over it and see how well that matches up.
Come on, internet. Get on it. I know you don't have anything to do. Get on it. But yeah, entertainable match, blah, blah, blah. There was cheating. There was good stuff. Good guys won. Crowd was way into it. Oh, and I liked how much Strikeforce celebrated after that first pinfall.
Oh yeah, they were super stoked.
They do like two out of three pinfalls now, and like so many times like people start out where they just like get themselves DQ'd the first match by like beating a guy to death with
a
chair.
Move. I like that.
Cuz they're like, I don't care, I'm thinking long term.
Mm-hmm.
Or like they'll have these matches where like the guy gets the first pinfall and they're just like, okay, never mind, just ring the bell, let's go. Match number 2, here we go.
Gotta get it going while he's hurt.
Strikeforce was like, yeah, man, we did
jubilant.
We're up. One zip.
They're happy to be pro wrestlers. I want to see some fucking passion out there.
Gave the crowd a chance to get excited, too.
You're on NBC. Come on.
Come on,
live
man.
A little.
Come on. But yeah, so that was my number 2.
Good. My number 2, Oh, I got to say, every time he's showing up on these shows, I just end up saying real good stuff about him. Hulk Hogan's promos fucking ruled. His pre-match promos.
Hogan.
He was soaking wet. Both of these things.
Oh, man.
He was doing squats, and he was doing his washah during all of his squats. I mean, I know he's doing that when he punches people, but he washahs during
the
squats,
the
too.
The washahs, I'm watching that, right? And he's doing the squats, and then I start doing the washahs along with him.
Uh-huh.
And my girlfriend looks over at me, and she's just like, what? And I was like, he's doing
Hogan washahs.
He's doing the washahs. And she's like, what? I was like, it's a thing he does. She's like, really? I was like, yeah. He does it in his matches all the time.
So yeah, I'll say like one little bit of a production snafu is I appreciated how soaking wet he was in both these promos. Looked like he had just stepped out of a swimming pool full of olive oil or something. Like it was gross how wet he was. And when he comes out for his match, he's dry as a bone. When we've just seen him backstage like
upsetting.
2 seconds later, like sopping wet. That was kind of weird, but these promos ruled. Him and Mean Gene, great chemistry.
He got
he's
so
hollering.
Purple
he's
in
excited.
The face in that first
he
one.
Sure did. And man, that second, the first one where he's squatting so good. That second one where he starts talking about Ronald Reagan.
About
hanging out with Ronald Reagan and what a huge Hulkamaniac
Reagan
is.
I got that somewhere. Yeah, he's just going
pulling any quotes out of that because it was just amazing insanity. His straight faced claims that the president of the United States is a huge fan of his and that he was hanging out with him earlier in the day.
Yeah, I can't find it, but I guess have that Reagan is a Hulkamaniac, but there was some great political stuff from the era. That whole show, you got the Hogan talking about how much he loves Reagan, and then earlier they had that
States
they had that
cowboy movies
they had that
favorite things
that Slickster promo where he's talking about hanging out with Gorby. He's like, only I can call him, or as you call him, Mikhail Gorbachev.
Slick just claiming that he was schmoozing with all the Russian officials and how much he hated capitalism. What a turn from him. This guy's a real slime ball. He'll say anything to hitch his wagon to these bad guy pro wrestlers' stars and make a quick buck off of it.
That Hogan. He was on the fire.
Yeah, Slickster and Hulkster. They're a couple of shysters, man. You can't trust either one of them. They'll pinch every penny. They'll suck every dime out of you, and I got to appreciate that.
One.
If you're in the wrestling business, you got to be a fucking just whore.
Mm-hmm.
Whore yourself out.
Yeah. Let's see. What's that bring me to?
That
number
brings
three?
You to 3. We're going to move on.
Okay. I'm just going to go into that.
About to 3.
Bundy and Hogan match.
They did have a match.
Yeah. It was all right.
Yeah. I liked it a lot.
I was looking for stuff to think about, and this was it. It was okay. Hogan, I'm not a big fan. Well, I wasn't growing up.
Mm-hmm.
I was always a warrior man.
Yeah.
As I've stated. But going back and watching some of this Hogan stuff, I guess he every once in a while, I guess he could work
got
okay.
A good formula.
He really
only
does.
Breaks
yeah.
down at the very end when he just does his Hulk up thing and it's over. Because before that, like, he sells his fucking ass off.
He sure
and, like,
does.
He gets the fans just like begging for him to make a comeback. Like, he just really just great facials, just like a lot of pain, a lot of pleading, like a lot of pleading with the fans. Like, oh no, I'm getting beat so bad.
You gotta help me here, bro. Hulkamaniacs.
They're just losing their shit. If you could just like take that through to the end more and make more of a believable comeback rather than that stupid sudden.
Just all of a sudden at some point, like, I'm just going to hit the next level.
All of a sudden he, well, quote unquote, hulks up. We all know what it is. And I guess you can't argue with fucking success because made him the richest wrestler ever for years and years. But fuck, man, after two or three of those, like, I just found his matches so goddamn repetitive. And it was all because of the finish. The actual meat of the matches are pretty good.
Yeah, like the start of the match, he's dominating early and like nothing crazy. He's not like overpowering Bundy. He's just, you know, he's just beating him. He's
the
just,
good
he's
guy.
He's just landing
he's
more offense. He's
and
doing
and
okay.
Everything was fair, one-on-one. Mm-hmm. He would be the winner.
And then, you know, slowly Bundy starts coming back.
He cheats and takes advantage.
He starts worrying about Andre, this and that.
Anybody want to feel it?
But there was a point where Bundy's working over Hogan's left arm.
Mm-hmm.
He just had him like a nerve pinch.
Oh, that's
or
my Washawn arm.
Yeah. And he has it just stretched out. And like Hogan's going as so far as to like slap his own hand and try to get feeling back into
getting
it.
Getting some
stuff.
Feeling back into his arm,
like,
so he can
Hogan,
get through that
hold. You're doing it, man. Like, you're selling the shit out of it. And then like he gets out of the hold and he goes for a comeback. And what does he do? He goes to drop an elbow with the bad arm.
Ooh.
And Bundy rolls out of the way. And he's like, oh, you know, he's selling his arm again. And anybody else, I'd be like, you know, they just worked over that arm. You're an idiot. Why are you trying to use that? But it works for that Hulk Hogan character.
Because Hulk Hogan is an idiot.
He doesn't care about his, like, well-being. Like, he just cares about beating the bad guy and winning. So he's like, by any means necessary, I'm closest to you with this left arm. That's the arm that I'm going to use to drive into your chest. It didn't work out.
I gotta say, Bundy made himself look like kind of a moron on the opposite side of the coin. He just kept going for the splashes and the elbows, and Hogan was moving. But he'd do it like over and over again. He'd try to elbow Hogan, Hogan would move, and he'd be like, ouch. And then he wouldn't like put the boots to Hogan and then try to do it again. He'd just straight up try to elbow him again, and it's like, Bundy, we just established that like he's not stunned enough to take an elbow. He's going to move. Why do you keep doing that, you big dumb idiot?
You're making a mistake.
You're making yourself look like a fool. You're making the crowd think like, oh, you know, Hogan's clearly going to be able to beat this guy because he's just a big fat idiot. You got to maintain a threat throughout the match if you're going to be the big monster heel. Don't look like such a dum-dum, man.
No, not at all.
Next time you fight Hogan, take some advice from me. You know, protect yourself more so that you're not looking so dumb.
Protect yourself.
You got to keep your character over.
You got to. This match, like I said, it was just all right. And so it gets my third
solid
thumb up for the night.
Mm-hmm.
But what this match really gave me was my fourth thumb up of the night.
Oh, wow. So my third is going to be the post-match shenanigans from that, is what I wanted to talk about.
We can talk about that. Post-match shenanigans? Yeah, we can talk into that. Okay. Yeah, it still has to do with Hogan, whatever. Yeah, that's
so Andre
fine.
Doesn't do anything throughout the entire match, which seemed weird because I kept hyping that he was out there. He's going to be
there. Had he had one of his back surgeries by then? Was he on
he is fucking immobile. Like, he can't do
I can't
shit.
Remember the Andre timeline, but so he's like, pretty much garbage by this
that's
point.
That's what
right?
I was saying. That's kind of what I wanted to talk about.
I figured he wasn't going to get physical at all.
Despite the fact that he couldn't move, he couldn't do anything. That post-match shit really made him look like a fucking killer with the Bulldogs just bouncing all over the ring for everything he did, just bumping huge, like Shawn Michaels bumping ridiculous. Just still made him look like he was so powerful, even though he's just a big fucking lumbering fat guy that can hardly move at this point. And then Hacksaw comes out and busts him over the back with a 2x4
Well,
a
not only
times.
That, man. Like,
man, he was swinging for the fences.
The Bulldogs come out.
Mm-hmm.
They can't get him off.
Nah.
The whole locker room comes out.
Nah. Andre's too strong.
Like,
he's
they
got
get
Hogan
him away
in a chokehold,
straight
up,
and he gets right back on him.
Double-handed,
right.
Strangling him to death.
Yeah, and then the final.
He looks like he's got like 4 dozen teeth in his mouth. It's so fucking huge, and he's just got it open with a crazy look on
his
eye.
Got
those
shark
and he's just
teeth.
Strangling Hogan to death. Like, he looked like an insane monster. And then he no-sold that big 2x4 shot where
Hacksaw
just
awesome.
Really laid that
finally
board into
out.
Him.
Yeah, I saw him like winding up, and like I'm thinking to myself, you know, you're trying to be the smart mark, and you're like, ooh, is it going to be a fake board? Is it cut somewhere in it? Like, how are they going about this?
Busted it afterwards to show you that it is not a fake board. It's real wood.
It was nuts, man.
And as he broke that board on the ring, The other half did go flying dangerously into the audience along with a million splinters.
Can I tell you something?
That Hacksaw, he's a big dumb idiot.
When you're on that many amphetamines, you can't be thinking about things like, where's the other end of this board going to go?
So. I always heard stories about Hacksaw and weed, but I felt like he was jacked up that night, my man.
Well, that's the thing. He was on so much weed that he had to do something to get him up for these performances.
If we're going
to
get Andre off Hogan, I'm going to have to fucking, you know, smoke something out of a light bulb.
Right. If you're just baked, just blazing all day, and you're just like, far out, man. Like, you're not going to come out yelling ho and screaming like, you know.
Hacksaw, some kind put of down half-wit. That hoagie and fucking do some rails. We got to go help our boy Hogan.
Yeah, so that's clearly what had happened with him. But yeah, that was a great post-match kind of thingy.
I had seen Andre's matches. Like, I know that he can't have a cool match, but no. That segment made me think like, oh, crap.
Even when he was healthy.
He's still a monster. He's going to hurt Hogan.
Right, and like they've had so many like lumbering big man jokes in their company.
Boy, have
since
they.
Since that they try to like, book is like a almighty monster,
Great Khali.
And it's like
head chops he did though.
Those were pretty cool. Those were pretty cool. But it's like they did nothing.
Giant
got him
Gonzalez.
Over.
That guy was a real loser.
He was a mainstay in WCW.
Body suit with hair on it. What?
It was pretty cool. He was in that episode of what's the Baywatch? He was on that episode of Baywatch. Yeah.
What was that? That WCW crossover or?
I think like maybe
Flair and Sting were hanging out on the beach or whatever.
He's some kind of like carnival freak at the like carnival on the boardwalk by the Baywatch. And like he's just like
could definitely pass as a carnival freak.
He's the giant that like everybody comes to see. And
hey, you guys know how Mexicans are generally really short. Not this one.
Take
Give
a
me
look
like
at
50
him.
Cents.
Take
you can take a look at him.
And I think
carnival's a weird business.
I want to say Knight Rider's son.
Son of Knight Rider.
I
remember.
He's
always one of the worst parts of that show.
He's a good guy. You can't be doing this. And this was like before he was like cool and into drugs.
He'd always be like, what's going on with the hot chicks?
He was like
12. But then there'd always be like a side plot about what that stupid little kid's doing, like away from all the hot chicks.
This is when he was still really young, and he's just like, he's a nice man. You don't do this. He's a nice man. So that was that episode.
Baywatch, know where your bread is buttered.
Yeah.
Your bread's buttered with boobs.
Yeah.
Not with little boys.
Boobies.
Did you see that hunk of garbage Baywatch movie they made this year?
No.
Last year, 2017?
No. I think you
talk
saw
about
it.
A fundamental misunderstanding of what made something popular.
Yeah, you saw it before I did. I asked you how it was. You said 2 hours. I said,
well, worst movie of the year.
I think I'm done here.
It took The Rock and Zac Efron,
how do
two
you
of the most charming
up,
men
man.
In the world, and then made them act like assholes the whole movie. They cast a bunch of juggy ladies and then put them in super not revealing, just like sports gear the entire movie
instead of
those like high-waisted, classic,
iconic
Baywatch bathing suits. Like, what the fuck?
Yeah, they're high-hipped where it just goes all the way up there. And if you got any kind of cooter hair.
Shooting right at that cooter.
That's why the landing strip was so popular for so long. Mm-hmm. It was because with a bikini like that, that's all you could have in there.
Anything else, you know.
It's showing.
You got sideburns.
Yeah, absolutely. Look like
I'm cool with
Carl Yastrzemski.
Ladies, next time you're going to the beach, rock some sideburns. Like, who are you trying to impress?
2018. It's time's up.
Mm-hmm.
Time's up, folks.
Yep.
2018. So my big number four here.
Okay.
Now you're going to have to go with me a little bit on this one, okay?
I'm not so sure. I'm already feeling incredulous about this.
No, I think I'm going to win you over. I'm going to win you over on this one. It's not so much so something that definitely happened as much as it is something that might have happened.
All right. Theoretical number four.
Okay. So, in the match, Bundy gets Hogan to the outside of the ring.
Okay.
And, like, beats him through the ropes. Like, no small feet. Like, Hogan takes a bump to the outside.
Big old boy taking those bumps.
And he's out there, and Bundy's down there, and he's just beating him by the rails. And,
Jim Duggan was doing rails?
No, that's further back. The guardrails.
Ebersole, don't get that on camera.
Yeah, no. So he's, you know, on the guardrails, like, oh, crowd, you got to help me. And this dork in the front row.
A dork at a wrestling
just
show?
Just, like, runs up to Hogan, and he's like,
apart.
He just runs up, and he's in Hogan's face, and he's giving him thumbs up, and he's like, yeah, you can do it all, you can do it all.
Yeah, you're my hero, big bald weird man with the mustache.
And, like, I'm looking at this suit. This dork's wearing a suit.
Wore a suit to a wrestling show?
Yeah, he's front row. He's wearing a suit. And he's wearing a cap.
What a life.
He's wearing like a ball hat, a cap.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm looking at this suit. The hat, I've never seen in my life. But the suit, I'm like, I recognize this suit.
You recognize a suit?
I'm proposing it was Dave Crockett from NWA WCW.
What?
In the front row.
In the front row
and
in Washington, D.C.
Now, humor me if you
for
will.
For a competitor's big show.
Humor me if you will, but I think
okay.
I think there might be something true to this. I think Dave Crockett was a huge Hogan mark. He just
makes
loved
sense.
Hogan.
The way he loved Dusty
yeah,
so much
because right?
he was the main good guy. Like, I know I shouldn't be going to these WWF shows.
But he's still wearing that NWA suit. To the
yeah,
show, right?
Hulk Hogan, he's just such a pure, just, you know, good guy.
He's
I love
such
America.
A good guy.
His, I love values.
His arms. Oh, his arms.
He does have. Oh.
And so, like, he's like.
Nice leg drop.
Nice leg drop. He thinks he's one-upping Jimmy, his
Did
brother.
You think he put that hat on
yeah,
as a disguise?
Yes. Yeah. They're never going to tell that it's me. I love Hulk so much, I got to be there in his corner. So
Dave
I'm thinking
Crockett,
he's going to these shows.
Should have been born like some sort of recessive gene McMahon brother or
right?
something. And then he
like I just love
lived his dream life.
I just love this idea that Dave Crockett's a huge Hogan mark
mm-hmm.
and everybody's like Jim and everybody else are just like, Dave, stop. You can't be going
to
the shows,
keep
man.
Keep our eyes out for guys in like fake mustaches
yeah.
and stuff.
I'm telling you, I think we're gonna find him in other episodes.
Dave Crockett, we're on to you.
I just love the idea of like them coming back for meetings on like a Sunday or a Monday because, you know, they're going to start back up for the week.
Mm-hmm.
And like Jim's just disappointed.
Yeah.
Like, who's going to say something? Who's going to
sure.
He's going to say something. Dave, were you watching TV Saturday night? No? I had a date that night.
A date in Washington, D.C.?
Yeah, right?
We found these plane tickets in your coat pocket.
And we all fucking saw you, pal. So... I don't know.
The jig is up.
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to keep my eyes open for Dave Crockett.
Dave Crockett in the hat.
Future WWF shows just fucking turning his back on the NWA because
he's not,
got red and yellow
but he's
in
not,
his veins.
Yeah, he's not turning his back. He just loves Hogan that much.
Red and yellow flowing through his veins.
Yeah.
I took my vitamins, Hulkster.
I said my prayers.
My number four.
Oh, that's good stuff.
I just want to talk about underrated man. Doesn't get enough credit. Got a lot of shit thrown his way when he was put into the WWF Hall of Fame. People saying he didn't deserve it.
Talking about that bird.
I'm talking about that bird man, Coco Beware. I'm just, you know, he's a solid-ass mid-carder, and he's kind of the total package when it comes to a pro wrestler. Because he did that promo, and he's singing like some sort of Baptist choir.
Yeah, he was.
He's preaching like some sort of Southern weird god man.
Featherweights.
He's got cool, like, sparkly coats. He's got those big white glasses. He's got multicolored tights. He's got a fucking macaw that he brings to the ring with him. He's got that cool, like, flapping my arms bird motion he can do to get the crowd going. Like, that's a complete package. Plus, in the ring, he's got all this, like, little flippy guy thud butt stuff that he does, which is a lot of fun to watch. What more do you want from a pro wrestler? He's looked at every angle. He's got them all covered. There's nothing he's, like, not doing in a good way.
Yeah, my number five goes to the whole Coco, Greg the Hammer, all that,
okay.
like
the
last
all
segment.
That. The big
but
main event.
With Coco, I got to ask you,
mm-hmm.
the coat, I agree with you.
Yeah.
The trunks.
Oh, so many sequins.
The trunks are great. He's got the yellow or the gold and the blue mixed with the birds.
He's one of
on
my favorite
side.
LJN figures back in the day.
Yeah, and then he's got.
It looked great.
He had WWF on his butt in like three mm-hmm. different colors for no reason that had nothing to do with the colors of the rest of his outfit. But it was more colors.
Pride for the company. He's
with more colors.
He's a but solid employee.
My question.
For that Hall of Fame spot.
My question for you, this is 1988.
Okay. Oh, boy.
Do you like
in the hot seat right here?
Do you like his 88 Jerry curl?
Yes.
Or do you like a little later on when he's got the little bit more of the flat top going with the bleached?
Oh yeah,
bleached
the,
ends of
the
it.
The bleached ends were pretty flamboyant, but I gotta say those were nice for a change when he's trying to stay relevant. But classic Jerry curl, Coco Beware.
Yeah,
look is,
I agree.
Would I? If given my druthers of like. Hey, you're going to go out on a mystery date
yeah.
with Coco Beware. What era would you like this to happen? It'd be classic Jerry Curl era.
Also,
we'd go out for spaghetti.
Also.
Frankie could come.
What do you want him coming out to?
Bird, bird, bird. Yeah. Bird, bird, bird.
Now, this match, he came out to Pile Driver.
Bird, 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 bird. And they were pushing that Pile Driver album, I think. They were making some comments about it.
It's a cool song. Singing on it.
You know, he's got some pipes, but...
It's a great song.
Bird, bird, bird is just a classic fucking theme song right there. It's a lot of fun. Bird, you need to sing it all day. Bird, bird, bird. Yeah. Bird, bird, bird.
What's not to like? You can flap along with it.
Mm-hmm.
It's good stuff.
Great stuff.
But I agree with you. Coco's the man. I like this match. I like the entire thing.
His finisher is called the Ghostbuster, too, isn't it? That's fun. That's a fun name for a finisher.
I don't remember that.
He's got everything covered.
But I'm watching this match, and I'm thinking, like, this is... I don't know what I'm watching.
Craig Valentine, I gotta tell you, he put on a lot of weight between 86 and 88.
Oh,
he's slowing down here. He's starting to slow down here. That head of his, that big old head of his,
and I wanted,
it's gone from about 40 pounds to like a good 55 pounds, I feel like, just all of head.
It's, What's up?
It's like an orange on a toothpick.
Like an orange on a toothpick.
Look at the size of that boy's head.
Shh.
I'm not kidding. It's like an orange on a toothpick.
Shh, you gotta give the boy a complex.
Well, that's a huge noggin. It's a virtual planetoid. Shh. Has its own weather system. Shh. Head, move!
I always want to hate Greg the Hammer Valentine.
I hated him when I was a kid.
Right. Just because, like, when you're a
wrong,
kid.
No, he's pretty cool.
Yeah, he really is. And that's why I loved this match so much. There wasn't one thing about this match that wasn't like 1988 to 1992 WWF.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, it was just every just single part of it was just
on
point.
Got our man Jimmy Hart outside.
You got Jimmy
yelling
Hart
into his megaphone.
Yelling in the megaphone the entire match.
Just adding to the match.
You got Greg the Hammer Valentine, who's the old, you know...
Yeah, solid, just pick apart a
veteran,
guy
and
beat him down
he's
hard.
He's one of the few remaining, like,
holdouts.
Make the fans worry
that they're injured for real.
He's a holdout from, like, the, you know, the old territory days.
Looks like White Funaki.
Yeah, you don't want to watch him as a kid because he looks so boring.
But he's there for a reason.
But you don't understand that he's just making that guy you're watching that much more exciting.
The reason you like him so much is because you hate Greg the Hammer Valentine so much.
And then you
much.
Got Coco out there just flapping around. He's got the bird. He puts him on the top rope. He shakes the rope to make the bird flap his wings.
He
you can't
really
do that anymore.
He was whipping that bird around quite a bit.
PETA would be like, sir.
Kind of afraid Frankie was going to get whiplash.
That bird was so happy to get onto that perch and get away from that coked out maniac.
Finally, some respite from that insane man who just keeps fucking jerking me around in the air and pushing my face in this camera.
But like I said.
I gave that bird cocaine to try to get him to be more active when he was on screen.
Absolutely.
That's what I would have done
Frankie,
if I was him.
Frankie, you got to do a little bit of this. Oh, yeah. So I'm watching this match.
And that gravel eats.
I'm watching this match, and I always remembered Coco being a little fatter, too.
Yeah.
But he was he was fat, but he had some definition in this era.
He's just a thick little big toe of a man, really. Like, not necessarily fat, just weirdly proportioned.
Yeah. He had some arms and some back to him.
Yeah, stumpy a little bit.
But I'm watching this match,
like thud butt.
I'm just like, you know, what am I watching here? And then all of a sudden, Brutus comes out. And that's when it clicked to me, like, this is the greatest
Brother Brutai
bit of, like, WWF 80s, 90s. Like, this is the pinnacle. You got these two.
All these gimmicks.
You got Jimmy Hart.
You got an animal out there. You got a fucking prop out there. You
all
got
of a sudden,
classic manager out there.
You got one of the most coked up guys in the locker room running out there with, like, very sharp weapons.
Okay, my number five, we're just getting into it right now, is how uncomfortable I was
watching him with those gardening shears the entire time.
Yeah. He's clearly just out of his mind on coke. He's running at a full sprint.
He's out of his mind on at least coke.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Let's start there.
Just got those shears just going like fucking scissor motion.
Wasn't anybody ever worried he was going to fall on those? Like, they always
fall
tell you not
them
to
and
run
impale
with
himself. Don't run with scissors. What about running with gardening shears, for one thing? Another thing,
while
the whole time
opening and closing them the entire
he's
time.
He's just running along all the fans, and they're all sticking their hands out trying to touch him while he's got these gardening shears going at full fucking blast. Nobody ever got, like, at least a thumb cut off when this guy was running around like a madman.
Same exact
strutting
thing.
And cutting.
Like, no kid ever got their finger in there once.
I felt like a concerned mom the entire time he was doing that run-in, just like, oh, no, pull your hand back, kid. Or just, what if he trips?
I'm thinking
this was reckless shit having him out there with these big gardening shears.
I'm thinking there's no way they could have been that sharp. They had to be pretty dulled because like they didn't trust that idiot.
At the end, Hart's sitting there and he lets him fucking cut his hair with it, and he's not like careful. He just fucking like starts attacking his head. And he, what did you write?
Read this last note I have for
the
match.
Who the fuck lets that coked out maniac bring shears that close to someone's face?
Yeah,
he really cut his hair like. Not like, ooh, let me stop and like make sure I'm doing it right. Just lunging at his head. He could have fucking scalped that dude like a quarter of a centimeter off, and he would have scalped his entire fucking head.
He could have bone tomahawked him.
Yeah, he just stuck those shears straight up through his eyeball and through his entire skull and murdered Jimmy Hart live on NBC.
It was really hard to watch.
Yeah, I don't know who signed off on that shit happening all those years. That's
it was
a bad idea.
It was super hard to watch, and at the same time, I couldn't look away.
Oh, no. It was like watching a good horror movie.
It was magical.
So much tension in the room.
Oh, plus, we got to find those fucking barber shirts he was wearing.
Oh, yeah, they did look really nice.
That was badass. Just like, that cartoon picture of him with the shears.
Wear that out to the club one night, you know. Just
put it out there.
Yeah. Hey, ladies. A couple of beefcakes. Wearing a couple of beefcakes.
Brother Brute.
Double here.
The beefer.
Four beefcakes.
Yeah. I liked it, man. Like I said, that was just 80s shit. It was great.
80s all over my face. What is a boy to do?
Just watching a Saturday morning cartoon come to life at 10 o'clock at night.
That's
on
the
NBC.
Appeal of that 80s WWF. It's like watching some sort of stupid cartoon or comic book. Just Vince had his finger on the pulse of something back then. You gotta hand it to him. There's much weird shit that he brings to the table, and those weird obsessions that like constantly making wrestling not as good as it could be if he just give up on that approach. You know, for a while there, he had the formula, baby. All right, well, that wraps it up for another edition of the Five Count.
Wonderful.
Let's take a pause.
Yeah.
Reflect on what we've done. Hear from some of our lovely sponsors.
I want to leave you with something before we go to the sponsors.
Okay.
Because we had a lot of fun just now.
We did.
I'm going to bring y'all.
Thinking about it.
I'm going to bring y'all down here, listeners. Coco lost one of those birds in a fire.
From the Capitol Center in the nation's capital, Vince McMahon along with Jesse the Body and Mean Gene saying so long and Happy New Year.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
I heard Converse made a pair of bird shoes for last year's MVP.
Yep.
Well, they made a pair of Magic shoes for this year's MVP.
Okay, Magic, show me what you got.
The bird shoe, the magic shoe. Choose your weapon from Converse.
Mountain climbing! Up here, I won't go cuckoo for my favorite cereal. Delicious, munchy, crunchy, chocolatey Cocoa Puffs. They're part of this good, nutritious breakfast.
You're late.
Oh, no. The end of my rope.
On the trail of some puff-puff Cocoa Puffs. Chocolate-tasting Cocoa Puffs. Munchy, crunchy, chocolatey.
Cocoa Puffs! Yahoo! I'm cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs! I'm really hung up on Cocoa Puffs!
Had a real American's dinner tonight.
Oh, yeah?
A little thing called chili cheese beef.
Chili cheese beef.
Have I talked to you about it before?
It's ringing a bell. It sounds like a weird thing you do.
Local establishment.
Cheese sticks and beef sticks?
No. Local establishment in our neck of the woods. I don't want to say their name because they're not paying me money to say it.
Absolutely,
you know what I'm saying?
Not.
I don't put you on the map.
Cannot be bought.
Yeah, I don't put you on the map for free because I can be bought. You start off with a generous pile of French fries, right?
Mm-hmm.
On top of that,
keeping helping.
You put down a bunch of roast beef.
Okay.
On top of that, you put down a nice lake of melted cheese.
Mm.
Like a creamy cheese sauce, whatever.
So far, we're mixing up like a poutine and a beef and cheddar.
And on top of that, you put chili.
Chili. Hmm. That sounds like a big old mess, yeah. Quite frankly.
And I get the full, not the junior.
Wow. There's a big one.
Yeah.
People should probably all get the junior. There's no reason for there to be a big one.
It was the only thing that my girlfriend ever saw me eat and was like, you can't eat that regularly.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, what are you talking
I'm
about?
I'm disgusted by this, and quite frankly.
I think at the time, I was like putting down like one of them a week.
Yeah.
Until she
that
finally
can't be good for you.
Until she finally saw what it was, because I was like doing it at work.
Uh-huh.
And she's like, what? How often are you eating this
thing?
Very
sneaky.
How often are you having this? And I was like, once a month.
I bet those jail lunch runs get pretty gross.
Yeah, I'm doing a real Doug Heffernan
circuit of just like gross places you go. And
oh,
pick
absolutely,
up food at.
Absolutely. Oh, I gained so much weight. There's another greasy spoon by us.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's like a Greek gyro place owned by Mexicans. You know how those are.
Perfect.
And they got this double cheeseburger there, man.
Mm.
And it's just
like a cheeseburger, but more.
Two patties, the cheese, and then it's just mustard, ketchup, pickle, grilled onion.
Classic.
And I'm going to tell you right now, I was a skinny, skinny man until I started eating those. And that was the first time in my life
double
when I started gaining
steroids.
Weight.
It's,
they're so good.
How you get huge.
They're so good, man.
That's how you get huge.
They're so good. But enough about me.
Yeah. Let's talk about me.
Things I eat. Yeah, what are you eating?
I've been drinking a lot of Soylent.
You did? You still
delicious.
Doing it?
It's so good.
So had a, green.
A chai one for
it's
breakfast.
Made from people.
And then I just had an original with a scoop of double chocolate protein powder in it for lunch. Really, culinary-wise, I'm on a wild adventure over here in my house.
Yeah, I guess so.
I got a lot of...
What are your poops like with that? It's only going to go one of two ways.
You
like
know,
just like super regular, like
normal
very
poops,
structured
but like
good.
Not as much poop mass wise, I'd say.
Okay.
Like you're not doing as much poop when you're pooping, but it's still as frequent. From
you're supposed to be pushing 3 feet a day.
Wow. 3 feet a log?
That's what they say.
That seems excessive.
That seems a lot to me. I'm always like, really? But I guess that's maybe like if you drink the amount of water that they say you're supposed
to
drink.
Yeah, I do that. I make sure I do that every day, and I'm not pushing out anywhere near 3 feet a
How
log
much water
every day.
Is it?
It's, I think, 64 ounces. Did they say 8 glasses of water a day? I think.
Oh, yeah, I'm not hitting that.
But I'm doing 72 every day.
How much water is in beer?
Just to make sure. Quite a lot. Like, that counts.
Okay, so
that
I might be getting close then.
You're getting there.
Yeah.
You get a lot of nutrients in that that beer, too. Beer's not a bad drink. It kept people alive for a lot of centuries.
Yeah. So get off my back. God.
Don't fuck with my play.
Get off my back.
Let's get into this three count.
Yeah.
This thing we do. This little thing we do called a three count.
Yeah.
Where we take a topic and then we make a list. Mm-hmm. An invention that's swept the entire internet, I've noticed. Mm-hmm. Once we started making lists, doing a lot of binging out there and
seen a lot of lists,
seen a lot of top this, top that, and I'm just like, top that,
especially
top that.
Oh, go ahead.
I had a little brain aneurysm
You can be sing-songy too.
I'm hot and you're not, but if you want to hang with me, I'll give it one shot.
Either way, I'm banging it. I'm seeing all this, top this, top. Then I'm thinking, like, that sounds a little bit like a three count to me.
Yeah.
Fucking,
especially with the year.
Not getting any royalties from these cracked.coms or these what cultures or whatever, man. Like, at least it's a little acknowledgement of the guys who started making lists.
I don't know if you noticed, but especially with the turn of the year here.
Oh, yeah. Suddenly everybody's got a three
top
count.
Top of 2017. It's like,
suddenly everybody's got a fucking three count.
I want a little credit.
I don't want to get bitter. Let's,
a little credit.
Let's take the focus away from everyone undercutting us and basically screwing us and put it back on the wrestling. Last week, we did a three count for the new year, best wrestler reinventions. Guys who did a gimmick change.
Changes.
And then their career really took off. This year, we're flipping that coin over and looking at the dark side of the coin. The scratched up face, not the pristine face, if we're using Batman metaphors. We're worst wrestler reinventions. Guys who made a change and it was not for the better and their career was never the same.
Because time may change me.
Uh-huh.
But I can't change time.
That's true. Unless he invented time machine.
He was on my
Doc Brown changed time.
But did he?
Yeah. David Bowie didn't see it coming. What a loser.
Probably didn't see that cancer coming either.
Well, you never see the cancer coming. Cancer is one of the sneakiest diseases. I mean, like, other than sickle cell, I think it's known as being the sneakiest.
I would, what would you, if it was a wrestler, with the cerebral assassin?
Oh, what if there was a Russian wrestler named Sickle Cell?
Ooh.
I'm going down a dark path here.
Yeah, because that's going to get racist.
I don't
want to
play out this idea.
Vince McMahon's,
That's racist! Bad idea.
Speaking of racist.
Okay.
I got one of my first ones here.
Okay.
It's really racist.
Number three.
There was a guy.
Getting racist.
That had a bit of success being strong.
Okay.
And wrestling.
Yeah.
He wasn't great, but he wasn't bad. He had good size. He'd job periodically to bigger stars, but he was the kind of baby face
beautiful
that could eat some losses.
Skin.
Yeah. He could eat some losses, and it didn't matter because, you know, he was strong and people wanted to see that. And his name was Tony Atlas.
Oh, yeah. I know Tony Atlas.
And
former tag team champion Tony Atlas. A nice little career.
He worked with Vince and the boys for a minute, and then he kind of went away for a minute. And then he kind of got really into drugs for a minute. And when
what's
I say
really
kind of.
Bad match with him and that fucking big weightlifter idiot.
Ted Arcidi.
Ted Arcidi.
Yeah, I think that was one of
him
we
that
watched.
Got stuck with him. Poor guy.
So, yeah, he was always doing the job. And he got way into drugs. And then
you got to get into drugs. You're on top of the world in 80s pro wrestling. Like, you can't fault a guy for that.
But the problem was he used all the drugs.
I still don't see a problem, quite frankly.
All the drugs that he had the money for.
Oh, no more money.
Yeah.
Well, how are you supposed to get more drugs?
Well, that's the thing. He's living in his car, and Vince calls him one day, and he says, I got a new character. I want you to come back to the E, to the F, whatever.
Yeah.
And just be this character.
But everybody knows who I am.
Doesn't matter.
Very famous there.
You're not going to be that guy anymore.
Everybody's
going to
know that I'm Tony Atlas.
No, you're going to be somebody completely different.
Listen, I know I'm in my car right
Doesn't
now,
matter.
And I'm not really in a position to argue. But
you mean you're taking this call in your car because you have a car phone?
Just
you're
saying,
living that well?
Well, I'm parked next to a payphone.
Oh, okay.
I'm just saying this doesn't make a lot of sense.
No, it makes perfect sense.
All right, I'll hear you out.
Okay, Saba Simba, the Ugandan warrior.
Last time I checked, Tony Atlas, not from Uganda.
Okay.
So
I see where.
Yeah, he probably doesn't like speak the language or whatever. Not gonna be able to do promos.
What can he wear?
But everybody knows him, so I'd assume he's wearing some sort of elaborate face paint or mask so that they can't recognize.
No, just a really nice headdress.
Huh.
And a shield. And
so they at least like acknowledged, like, oh, Tony Atlas has discovered that he's got some familial roots and he's trying to embrace them.
This is
them
a completely separate guy. His name's Saba Simba.
I'm not following. This
gotta
sounds
have a,
fucking insane.
He's
got to
have
man.
A weapon, you see.
Oh, yeah.
A mighty spear.
So was he just like spearing through people and killing them all the time? Or
no, they threw these spears. He never did it.
Uh-huh.
I don't want to say words. But either way, this was really racist.
Wow, yeah, that sounds... they literally made him a spear chucker, Matt.
Yeah, I didn't want to say that combination of words, but that was Vince's grand idea.
The elephant in the room.
That was Vince's grand idea.
A former legit athlete who was a beloved babyface and a former champion, and he was going to turn you into a spear-chucking savage.
You know what would be funny?
And had, like, a real wrestling savage out there, Kamala. They could have just got Kimchi to wrangle him. I don't understand it.
Just imagine being in that meeting when Vince is like, you know what would be funny is if we took that racial euphemism and made it a real wrestler.
How are we going to tell Vince that
this is
a terrible idea?
Nobody wanted to be that
television.
One guy to be like, Vince, you shouldn't. Or maybe somebody did, and Vince was like, quit being a pussy.
Looking at you. Bruce Pritchard, where were you on that one?
So he comes back, he's Saba Simba, he wrestles for not very long as Saba Simba until
I imagine there was probably a lot of complaints about that.
One day he's in the ring wrestling with the hot rod on commentary.
Oh, okay.
And good
that
old
guy's never been known to put his foot in his mouth.
Good
so
old Roddy Piper yells.
Probably a fine combination of events.
Well, Roddy Piper just yells in the middle of the match, look! It's Tony Atlas.
Yeah, good for Piper. Shut down that bullshit.
Yeah. So, good for you, Piper.
Yeah, that's a really bad gimmick change.
Really,
really
bad.
Really dumb idea.
Really
I understand
bad.
That's on your list. Last week, I had a guy on my list who started off as a promising heater. named Big Bubba Rogers.
Oh.
And he made a jump over to the WWF, and it was like, this guy's promising. He's big. He's got a character people like.
He can move.
And, but then they changed his gimmick. He became the Big Boss Man, and it took him to a new level. Mm-hmm. Made him even better.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, make a little tweak. Give a guy a nightstick to twirl around, and suddenly he's even better. On the flip side of the coin, that guy eventually had to go back to WCW. Man.
Oh, yeah. And, I debated on putting this one on there.
This just makes no sense what they did with him. You know, he was already over in their company as Big Bubba Rogers. He could have just went back to that. Wrestle in a suit, look cool, put mm-hmm. that fedora back on. You know, you learned how to swing that nightstick around, so maybe give yourself like a nice like cane with a metal head or something. Now you like a swing around.
That's not nightstick
keep your
enough.
Big Bubba Rogers gimmick going. No. People know Big Bubba. They like Big Bubba. Keep that just success going. He'll be even bigger because they know he's the Big Boss Man. But
no
instead,
one remembers that.
They bring him back as the boss.
Yeah.
Put him in a different looking cop outfit and, you know, just trying to remind people, I guess, that he can't be the Big Boss Man anymore. So you get mad about it.
Yeah.
Then Vince shuts that down real quick because that's basically just like trying to do the Big Boss Man. So then instead of being like, all right, this lame fucking ripoff of Boss Man, it didn't work out.
Bubba Rogers.
Now make him Big Bubba Rogers. Then they did the real terrible move and they turned him into my number three pick, the Guardian Angel.
I almost put that on my gimmicks that succeeded last week.
No, it wasn't
really?
Good at all. He was instantly just a jobber coming out in a red windbreaker and a red fucking, what are those?
Berets. Yeah, he looked
dressing
cool.
Like this group of just, you know, glorified neighborhood watch idiots that I don't really know what their deal is, but I don't know what want to know what their deal is. They're fucking losers. He looked like a loser. My number three, Big Boss Man, 2 weeks in a row, but you know this time not for a positive.
The Guardian,
you done it now.
Nothing, and like the Guardian, like made it all the way up into like when NWO started invading.
Yeah, and then finally they just like started having them wear black t-shirt and leather pants and calling him Ray Trailer.
Yeah, like,
which
you could just be Ray Trailer again.
Better than nothing, I guess.
Yeah.
Better than the Guardian Angel.
Nothing made me want to like change the channel more. Like there was so much about WCW that I was not a fan. I was a WWF man. And like so much
You're
about WCW.
Racist.
Yeah. Guardian was especially one of those things where it's just like, oh, change it.
Yeah.
Change
way
it.
To just make yourself look like a cheap ripoff
change
joke
it.
WCW.
Yeah.
Fuck you. You got number two?
I got a two.
All right.
He's got to be put on there. It's obvious, but like we hate the guy. We hate the guy so much. And
it's
then
like poison
like,
in my mouth.
How do you
just
make
saying his name?
How do you make a guy that's
I
just
don't know who he is yet.
Boring and awful and then just make him a complete joke and worse?
Oh, I don't know. Why would you do that?
Talking our guy, Scary Terry.
Oh.
Terry Taylor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
First, like, he was Terry Taylor.
Yeah.
Just a generic wrestler.
Mm-hmm.
Forgettable.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, at least not embarrassing.
Right. It was like, I'm really good at wrestling. That's my gimmick.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I don't know, I guess. It's really boring to watch, but I guess you're okay at wrestling.
Right.
And then he leaves.
Vince is like, well, this guy's boring as fuck. We got to get him some personality.
And here's the best part, though.
Mm-hmm.
They brought him to the WWF at the same time they were thinking about, or they might have brought Perfect there first.
Sure, sure.
But at the same time, they were thinking about bringing in Terry Taylor.
Right.
And they didn't know who, but they were going to give one of these two gentlemen, Kurt Hennig or Terry Taylor, the Mr. Perfect gimmick.
Looking back on that, you know, that little rumor is true. Starting to understand why Terry Taylor is such a bitter fuck that everybody hates.
Right.
Man, he almost could have got a good gimmick.
Yeah.
Instead, he got buried with the Red Rooster.
Yeah, so allegedly, Vince takes one look at Terry Taylor,
mm-hmm.
who's had like, he just can't come off like a successful run against the Von Erichs.
Sure.
One of the Von Erichs, I think Kerry Von Erich.
Those guys were over.
Eric, one of them, in whatever
those
the hell
guys
down
were
in
over
Texas.
In Texas.
Yeah. But, you know, he's like, he's a big name in, like, the wrestling community. Like, this guy can work. He can go. He can really go. And he comes in, and Vince takes one look at him and says, well, goddamn, pal, he's going to be a rooster.
Yeah.
And they're like, well, why is he going to be a rooster? And Vince is like, look at him strutting around like he's cock of the walk.
See, I'm going to maybe, like, give Vince a little credit here. Like, not necessarily the worst gimmick. Like, you put some rooster elements into your gear or whatever, like maybe just like a rooster logo on your tights, and like you're cocky and you strut. It gets a bit too far when you're turned into a literal rooster. But I still think there's a lot of guys who could have pulled it off. The red streak of hair and like sort of the crowing. I think there's guys with persona, but the big mistake of this gimmick change, I think, is taking a guy with no personality whatsoever and trying to make him do these flamboyant, like fucking, strutting around and crowing. And
I'm going to tell you, though.
If you got a boring guy that's like a solid worker, you just give him a manager and have the manager cut. And they gave him Heenan, but like.
If you want to talk. Close,
put him in a robe, a flashy robe, and have Heenan do his talking, and he can just be a generic Greg the Hammer Valentine esque heel.
Giant, like flashy diamond bedazzled rooster on the back, like some kind of cockfighting coat, you know?
Sure.
Little Jerry, is he okay?
Oh, well, he's more than okay. He won.
You let him fight?
Yeah, well, I couldn't get there in time to stop it, but you should have seen little Jerry. Flapping his wings and strutting his stuff. He was pecking and weaving and bobbing and talking trash. He didn't even have to touch him. The other rooster ran out of the ring. The whole fight lasted 2 seconds.
How long do they usually last?
5 seconds.
I think there's people who could have pulled off the Red Rooster gimmick, and Terry Taylor's a little bit of a bitch for constantly being like, that's what buried me. That's what buried me.
I'm gonna give you proof of how that gimmick could have worked.
Okay.
Close but no cigar, right?
Mm-hmm.
Terry doesn't know how to get it over. A couple years later, there's a cartoon show in the late afternoons for the kiddies about a bunch of crazies, two brothers and a sister that live in a water tower called the Animaniacs, right?
Oh, yeah.
And they had...
I'm a big fan of their work with state capitals.
So they had a little segment on their show called Chicken Boo. It's about a giant 6-foot chicken that keeps accidentally getting disguises put on him.
Oh.
And then people mistake him for real people, only to find out later, well, he's not a person at all. He's a giant chicken.
See, they got over the giant chicken.
And then they're
idea.
Outraged. And it's one of the greatest things. And he had the theme song and everything. You wear a disguise, you look like people, guys, but you're not a man, you're a chicken, boo. That's good stuff,
man. That's fun. That's jaunty. Terry Taylor, what's your problem?
They had a takeoff of Karate Kid where he accidentally got a karate gi put on and entered in a karate tournament.
Get a karate gi on a chicken?
Who knows? But everybody's like, man, this guy's really good at karate. And then all of a sudden, like, he's fighting and the gi starts coming off. And people are like,
oh, no, he just shredded that young boy's abdomen open with his talons.
Yeah, this is a giant chicken. So, you know.
Pretty dark for a cartoon.
Yeah.
I gotta say, too, Kids in the Hall, Chicken Lady, great character.
Yeah.
A lady who's a chicken,
yeah.
And then she gets so horny that she explodes into a cloud of feathers. Like, and they do that shit with Terry Taylor.
Yeah.
Like, he's following around, like, all the ladies backstage, like, Macho and Elizabeth walk by, and then Terry Taylor just explodes into a cloud of feathers. That would have been a good gimmick. You got a built-in feud with the Macho Man right there.
We just gave you two perfect examples.
Try harder,
how
man.
You make it
sink
work,
or
man.
Swim. Pro wrestling's a tough world.
Yeah.
And then finally, when he's like done with all that, and it's like, oh, good, I got away from the Red Rooster. Like, what's he do the rest of his career? He's just like, I'm terrific, Terry Taylor. Get it? It's alliteration. What do? I come out and wrestle real boring.
And then he was tailor-made man.
Oh, yeah.
And then he was
pretty good.
Scary Terry Taylor.
They called him Scary Terry at some point. Was he doing anything scary, or are they just calling
him
that?
I don't think he understands what constitutes being scary.
Yeah, I can't see myself ever being scared of Terry Taylor. My number two. Last week, I had a guy on my list.
Ooh.
Went from being a Russian named Crusher Khrushchev.
You got a lot of continuity going, pal.
And then he got turned into a leather daddy BDSM expert with a red tongue and face paint called Demolition Smash.
Please tell me you're not doing what I think you're about
amazing.
To do.
And his
Please
career
tell me you're not.
Took off.
Don't do this to me.
He was a 3-time tag team champion.
Don't do this.
It was amazing. He was on top of the world, one of the most over guys in wrestling. And then they broke up his tag team because his partner got old, and the second partner they gave him was kind of a little bit of a scrub, so he was getting along in the tooth. But man, he could have just probably kept on being Smash and like being cool, and people would have loved him. Instead, they took this guy, Barry Darso, and they made him the Repo Man. one of the worst gimmick changes of all time. He goes from being a main event tag team level
agree
guy
to disagree.
To a fucking just jobbing idiot.
He's, agree to disagree.
His whole gimmick is that he sneaks, essentially. He's sneaking around all the time, and he steals things. He's wearing a little cartoon
hilarious.
Burglar mask.
Yeah.
He's basically the wrestling Hamburglar.
He's got tire marks on his coat because he's been run over.
From being three-time tag team champion, Demolition Smash, one of the most over guys on the roster, to the Repo Man, a joke.
It was
stealing
lost on you.
Randy Savage's cowboy hat and shit.
That's great, man.
What a fool. He was never the same. A couple years later, he is fucking like a wrestling golfer on WCW Saturday Night or something. Never got that momentum back from being Smash. He had such great, like,
it's not his
such great gear,
fault.
Such great just in-ring stuff. Those like
Repo
punches.
Man had great gear,
he
man.
He had to throw it all out once he became Repo Man. He became nothing.
Repo Man had great gear. That coat, it had the
it
rubber treads
cool.
on
it
the shoulders
like,
with the studs in it.
Kind of looked like Zero Cool's clothes from the movie Hackers a little bit.
Hide the planet! Hide the planet!
Shut up and get in the car!
Hide the planet!
And he had the fucking bandit mask. And
cut hair all short and he was just like a bald old man.
I loved Repo Man so much.
Man, Repo Man was lame.
Repo Man.
Weird child if you liked Repo Man.
Repo Man.
Give Demolition Smash a singles run. Why does Crush get a singles run and not Smash?
God, I love Repo Man.
All right.
I got a number one.
We're not talking about what we love. Yeah. We're talking about what we hate. What do you hate?
Okay. You don't got to read the names, but you can just see I got a lot of names right there.
Wow.
And that's
like a 10-man tie for number one?
No, it's everything Kevin Sullivan's ever done.
Oh, okay.
I'm just giving everything.
Sure.
Anything that he's been associated with as the worst.
What about the Varsity Club? I thought
that's
the Varsity Club
one
was
thing
cool.
I got. As
just
you can
of,
see, what's at the very bottom?
A bunch of old guys.
What's at the very bottom in all caps?
Old guys
Varsity
still
Club.
Wearing their like Letterman's jackets. Like,
yeah.
Not letting go of.
Well, he brought that back because they did that in like the NWO days of WCW, didn't they?
Did they?
I don't know. I think they had like a Varsity Club again because he did it in the
memory I've
well,
blocked out.
He had it in the late 80s when it was him, Ricky Steiner, and
Mike Rotundo was in there.
Yeah, I think Rotundo, and then Steiner left or whatever, and then that's when Dr. Death,
okay,
Steve Williams came in. I don't know. There's a couple people.
Good
in
crew
Varsity
of hosses.
Club. But, like, that's a great gimmick. Like, we're just jock meatheads, and we're going to wrestle you because we college wrestled, and we can wrestle better than you. And that's a cool gimmick. So you can say, like, that's where he started being okay.
Yeah.
And then everything after that is just a mess here. I've got every name he's had here. He was he started as the Boston Battler. Okay.
He does sound like a moron from Boston. So, you know, just you got to lean into it every once in a while.
And at some point, he picked up the moniker, not the Game Master.
No.
Which kind of makes sense. The Games Master.
Games Master.
Yeah, plural.
That's weird.
Yeah. And then Johnny West.
Johnny West?
Yep.
I don't remember any of that shit.
Kevin Caldwell. Kevin Sullivan.
There you go.
And then he was, before the Varsity Club, he was wrestling a little bit as Masked Lucifer.
Okay, I don't know. Lucifer is pretty cool. I don't
know.
Yeah,
that's
kind of
cool. That's kind of cool.
Just be Lucifer.
And then, as we remember, you can't have Kevin Nash on the list for worst gimmick because he wasn't doing anything beforehand.
No.
But
he
was Oz.
Yeah.
And who was the Great Wizard?
Kevin Sullivan.
In a rubber wizard mask. Yeah.
Oh, Jesus.
And then we enter the Taskmaster.
Oh, there was a lot of bad Dungeon of Doom stuff.
Now, 94.
His retarded brother.
94. Here we go. So, 94, Hogan's in town, and whatchamacallit, Kevin Sullivan's doing his own thing. He's got his like, quasi-handicapped brother, Dave Sullivan, and they're wrestling with people, and he gets in a feud with the Nasty Boys, and they beat up Dave Sullivan, and Kevin's like, "Oh, you can't beat up my brother." So he gets Cactus Jack to help him out.
There you go.
And they beat
solid
the Nasties.
Solid matches, those matches.
And somewhere along the way,
crazy brawls.
Somewhere along the way, his handicapped brother, Dave, is like, "I like Hulk Hogan."
Oh, man, that stuff was real bad.
And for whatever reason, you know what? That whole story must have been a shoot on how Dave Crockett was actually going to WWF shows.
There's a lot of things coming together now.
We're putting this episode is like the national treasure
of wrestling. You know,
it's a little bit more like National Treasure 2, I think, if you look structurally what we've done here.
Page 46, page 47.
That's right.
Yeah, we're putting it all together now. It makes sense.
Yeah, they're calling Dave Crockett out on national television.
Yeah.
Like, everybody knows you're Hogan
idiot.
Fandom.
You're going to be Kevin Sullivan's
Everybody knows
idiot
that you're
brother.
A more successful person.
Yeah.
This is a mentally challenged brother.
Yep.
This is a rib.
This all makes sense
a rib.
Now. This is a rib, man. This is a work. So anyways, you know, he makes this group with, who was it? He brings in Brutus first.
Yeah, the Zodiac.
As the Zodiac. And then he brings in
Earthquake. As the Shark.
And the three of them are the three faces of fear.
Oh, God.
But Hogan, you know, makes short work of them. And so Earthquake leaves. And it's like, well, I don't have a faction anymore.
No.
And so then he starts having these vignettes where he's like hearing these voices calling him to us, to the other side or this or that or whatever. And then he realizes that he's not Kevin Sullivan anymore. He's
something
the
different.
Taskmaster.
Yeah,
and then that's when
sounds just like a old lady with like cat's eye glasses who's mean in like a boarding school. It's not a very tough wrestling name. If you
eyes
me.
Forward and pay attention while I'm talking.
She's such a taskmaster. I've had enough of her. I want to go out to recess.
But no, this was just a jerk in a robe with drawn on eyebrows.
You should have just stayed a cool jock.
And a bunch of jobbers.
What were you thinking?
That was fucking 95 when he adopted Taskmaster and they had like the Yeti and all that.
Yeah.
95.
That shit all, like we said, with that lame Guardian Angel shit bled into like NWO shit and everything was more gritty and real and cool. All that shit also bled into the fucking NWO era and just looks so out of place.
Like when we talked about Coco Beware versus Greg the Hammer with Jimmy Hart.
I remember that. Those were good times.
Like, if you would have had, like, the Yeti and all these Universal movie monsters in, like, 88, I might have bought that. I might have been like, this is insane. Like, these guys are real monsters.
1995, what the fuck are you thinking?
Everybody's jaded at this point, man. Janine Garoppolo's got everybody thinking otherwise.
I mean, that's, I think, a little bit pre the truth about cats and dogs, but like we're on the verge of it happening.
Yeah.
Garofalo mania was sweeping the entire country.
Yeah,
everybody was
cynical,
like,
man.
That girl's just so acerbic, her personality.
Yeah.
I love it.
Like, as if.
Mm-hmm. All right. Last week, I did a number one. I called it the greatest gimmick change of all time. You took just like a dumb-looking hillbilly named Mean Mark and turned him into The Undertaker. And then at some point, you just make him stop being The Undertaker and you turn him into the American Badass. And he just does a generic biker gimmick that 1,000 other people have done before. He cuts all his hair off so he just looks like some lame dad from Texas who thinks he's cool because he still rides his Harley around. Ugh, what a stupid gimmick change. My number one worst wrestler reinvention is when The Undertaker became the American Badass and was just fat and lumbering. And his whole career just went to shit there for a while. His whole career went to shit. What was that booger red thing?
All right.
What was up with booger red?
I can tell you all about it because
This
is a podcast.
Okay,
this is audio, so the people can't see me shaking my head the entire time you've been talking here, because I was outraged at Repo Man, and now you want to attack Biker Taker?
Ugh.
To me, the point when Undertaker finally got good.
No.
You know, living with Davey R. Scheister, the world's biggest Undertaker,
cliff.
Mark.
Rightly so.
Next to all the brothers at Hooters and Beat-Ups.
Yeah, your yuppie brother and all
the one
black
time,
dudes we've hung out with.
The one time that
Buffalo
Dave
Wild Wings and Hooters
fits in with black dudes.
That is when the Undertaker's involved. That's true.
Talking Taker.
All other times he looks real nervous and sweaty in his sweater vest.
Very white. Very Frasier. Okay, so he comes back as Biker Taker, which
that's
is
right.
awesome.
Nope.
Because he's got Kid Rock's American Badass, which instantly makes him cool.
This is iconic, just Jim Johnston theme music thrown in the toilet.
Yeah, you don't need that anymore.
Fucking Kid Rock.
When you got, American Badass.
He like didn't have the outfit like down at first. He was like wearing those snakeskin pants every once in a while. He looked real bad in them.
And he came back at a pay-per-view.
Yeah.
And it was like this whole big like Taker's coming back. We all know Taker's coming back.
During that Triple H Rock Iron Man match, wasn't it? Or was it that when he finally came back as Undertaker after?
I don't know. H had the strap though. And it was all just this big build up to like Taker coming back, and then they just start in with the "Are you ready?"
or whatever the breakdown part of that Kid Rock song is.
Sure.
Are You Ready's DX, but you know what I'm saying.
I think Kid Rock used it too.
Yeah.
There was a lot of that going around in the early 2000s.
Oh, Triple H had like awesome music at that time too. It was just like that.
Want some?
Yeah.
Is this on?
Yeah.
That was good. That was my favorite Triple H music to date. I don't think he's ever topped it.
So he comes back. He's biker taker. He's just beating people up because it's his yard.
He's throwing those soup bones, man. Because all of a sudden, he wasn't just a motorcycler. He was also an MMA striker.
Yeah.
Clearly.
Hell yeah. You know how much tape he watched?
Dead zombie
with,
we've been
Ken
watching
Shamrock?
For fucking 15 years or whatever. Turns out he's an MMA fighter all of a sudden.
Yeah, has been.
What a dumb idea.
So Booger Red was JR's idea.
That was maybe the biggest mistake of JR's career, trying to get Booger Red over as a nickname for The Undertaker.
In Texas, a booger is another name for a ghost or apparition.
Oh, nobody cares about Texas, JR.
And he's still labeling himself the Dead Man, so Booger, Ghost, Red, because, you know, his red hair, Booger Red.
I gotta say, that Kid Rock shit, he moved on to the rolling Limp Bizkit
shit. Yeah, that
was
pretty cool, too.
Good guy, just biker, Undertaker, garbage shit. It was kind of salvaged once he started doing Dead Man Inc. Bad guy biker, though, and was coming out to that, you done it now.
Going and made a big mistake.
He's going to make him famous.
The best.
I'm gonna make you famous.
Best line in that song.
Uh-huh.
And I know this because of Davey R. Scheister.
Yeah. The biggest Undertaker fan outside of a black guy at Hooters.
A badass always kicks an asshole's ass.
Truer words have never been spoken.
Yeah.
So,
was that when he was doing the whole, like, taking the chairs and, like,
jamming them
into the Hardy's throats?
Yeah.
Come on, that whole feud with, like, him and Jeff Hardy?
I'm saying.
That was money
Dead
shit.
Man Inc., bad guy, not part of my number one.
All right.
My part of number one is good guy, biker taker.
That's fine. I'm going to allow it.
Shit was garbage.
I will allow it
the
on
greatest.
How much of a shock it was.
Uh-huh.
So I will shake your hand to that. As long as
we'll
can agree
on this.
On Dead Man Inc.
Uh-huh.
Great shit.
Great shit. Repo Man, I'm coming around on it.
Can we just do an episode where we bring Davey R. Scheister on and we just do just nothing but Taker?
Man, it makes sense to
me. We'll just do a whole Taker show.
Sort of Taker retrospective.
And we'll just ask him questions and he tells us. And
probably we should do like a At the Movies episode too, where we watch some No Holds Barred. Talking about No Holds Barred earlier.
I'm not against that, man.
Hey, I want to watch some No Holds Barred again.
I'm not against that.
Got a lot of ideas for the future
top
here.
Top five.
Moving forward in this future.
Top five favorite moments in No Holds Barred. There's going to be some.
Wheels are turning.
Oh, man.
2018
guys,
2018, taking us into so many new directions.
If you just started in on this show, like,
strap in.
Yeah.
Lucky you.
If you're going back in time to listen to a couple of these, episode 11, don't go any further than that.
That's when we started winning casties.
11 through.
We did.
I'm going to tell you, 11 through 15. We hit a stride right there,
pal. It's really all coming together.
Kudos to you. That production work, that Rambo episode.
Yeah. Ooh,
people are talking about that.
The Rambo episode was a turning
point. That's on a lot of those best of 2017 lists.
I went on ICQ the other day, and there was still a lot of chatter about that Rambo episode on ICQ.
Yeah, ICQ, of course. Violent J and the other guy.
Uh-huh. Chatty Too Dope, chatbot that I
have. Chatty Too Dope. Ooh, we're going to restructure this. We're going to do an ICP.
Social media, we're reaching out. Let's see what rhythm guitarist we can get in our chat room.
I don't know if it exists already, but I'm going to put it out there right
now. Fingers crossed.
And if it doesn't exist, we've got the rights to it, so go fuck yourself. Insane Clown Podcast.
Patented. A lot of stuff in the future. That immediate future, though, next week, going back down south. We're going back to
the biggest
NWA's World Championship Wrestling.
We're
going to
see the biggest Hulk Hogan fan in the world, Davy Crockett.
We'll see Davy Crockett wearing a Hogan shirt under his suit.
It's under there. He's not wearing the hat like he was.
Little glimpse of yellow under his collar.
I'm telling you, we got to start watching for this every week in WCW and WWF. Like, there's going to be bleed over like that you never knew.
Take us deeper into 1988, our new year. We're going January 9th, 1988, World Championship Wrestling. Be there or be square.
On Baby Oil and Blow.